The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
All right, let's head down south to the Dallas Federal Reserve, where we have Kunal Patel with us, our correspondent from the Dallas Federal Reserve. They do a quarterly survey, and we're looking at the third quarter here because the fourth quarter will be published at the end of the year, right around, I think, the 29th, the 30th, something like that. So we thought we'd check on the third quarter and see what is going on with a lot of the different oil companies. So how are you doing today, Kunal?
I'm doing great, Jason. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Thanks for joining the program here with a U, because it's a Friday. We're going to be a little bit relaxed on the program. So let's talk about what's going on down in the Dallas Fed. First of all, how many people were surveyed this month, this quarter, and what's kind of the quick takeaway, I guess?
Definitely. So we had 163 firms respond in our latest survey. The data was collected September 14th to the 22nd. Of that 163, I would need to grab it. It's a mix of exploration and oilfield services firms. We have a little bit more exploration and production firms than oilfield services firms, but quite a large sample. I got the number here, 105 exploration production firms, 58 oilfield services firms. The survey has a variety of business indicators just for everyone's knowledge, like activity, employment, oil production. I think the main takeaway is, and I think everyone knows it on the show, there's continuing to be a strong expansion in the oil and gas sector. The only thing that we should continue to note, though, is that costs continue to increase across the board. There is supply chain delays. The supply chain delays have worsened, but firms are still continuing to increase oil and natural gas production. Employment continues to increase. That index continues to rise, which suggests that the pace continues to pick up unemployment. The outlook kind of moved towards the historical norm in terms of that index, so it did come down a bit. And then when it comes to uncertainty, we did see uncertainty jump. And then, of course, executives, we ask executives year-end prices. They were expecting $89 for WTI for the end of 2022. That is above current levels today.
So you said that uncertainty kind of jumped back into the consciousness again, because for a while there seemed like some optimism.
Yeah, and I think so definitely at the start of 2022, there was this, of course, a lot more optimism. And I think as prices increased, that optimism stayed. And then, you know, from the summer to the third quarter, you know, we did see prices go from, I think it was $120 to around $85 around the survey period. So some part of the optimism changing could be the lower commodity prices. The other thing could be that the themes that keep coming up is the cost inflation. Cost inflation is surprising to the upside. We have a shortage of key inputs, especially steel tubular goods, equipment, personnel, hard to source personnel, very strong wage growth tied to that personnel. And then when you look through the comments, you know, there is this variety of uncertainty around commodity prices. That's that big move in the price of oil, a big move in the price of natural gas. And then there's, of course, a theme around uncertainty around government regulation and the future of it.
When it comes to some of the financing and some of the supply chain, what are you, I guess, hearing from the firms, whether it be through the special questions comments or whether the narration of the question? It just seems like we've gotten four or five surveys where supply chain hasn't seemed to slow down. And, you know, I mean, I'm looking at a possible rail strike December 15th, and, you know, we've got energy prices and some other things. So are people looking at tightening their belt next year? Are people looking at bringing in new investors, I guess? What's from the capital standpoint in direction with the supply chain for next year, what are companies saying there?
So we didn't have a specific special question on this topic. I mean, we did ask about like financial investors, which in some ways kind of answers the question, but doesn't exactly. It's the question was, we asked our executives, do you expect financial investors to return to the oil and gas sector? And 79% said yes, some will return. 11% expect many to return, and 10% expect investors will not return. So some are of the financial investors, their expectations is that some of them will return. But when it comes to like capital lending, so on and so forth, you know, the comments seem to suggest that there isn't anybody looking to give a lot of capital back to the industry. There was a comment that said like no one is interested in giving capital to E&P firms. And so, but again, there isn't, I guess in many ways, the comments seem to suggest that there isn't this big inflow of money coming back into the industry. Specific to supply chain, though, we continue to see this strong increase in activity. And with that activity, there's a need for inputs, and there's a need for equipment, and there's need for personnel. And when it comes to the inputs and the equipment, sometimes this equipment is and this input is sourced internationally. Sometimes this equipment, since there's been periods where we had too much equipment, there's a lead time to build the equipment, that kind of leads to that shortage. And then when it comes to the personnel front, I think that what we hear from contacts is the challenge of sourcing personnel has to do with the fact that there's been so many booms and busts in such a short period, in which it just makes it challenging to source additional staff. And then whoever is sticking around is, of course, looking for a strong wage growth. Now, the strong wage growth isn't just an oil and gas theme. I think that there is also strong wage growth in many other industries, but there is significant wage growth within the industry. That's what the survey suggests.
How about when it comes to either government subsidies or tax deferments or breaks, whether it be the Inflation Reduction Act, I understand has a lot of oil and gas, either subsidies or tax credits. We have the carbon capture, those types of things. Are companies looking at that, or are they still looking at private investors? I guess, what did your survey uncover when it comes to, you know, some of the government programs out there?
Great question. And so we did, you know, the big thing with the Inflation Reduction Act, I think it provides an expanded credit, whether it's for renewables or renewable fuels, or as you mentioned, carbon capture, utilization, storage. And we did ask in our latest survey, in your opinion, will proposed carbon capture, utilization, and storage projects be profitable? With the increase in the 45Q tax credit in the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act. And just for everyone to know, like on a traditional carbon capture utilization storage project, it expands the credit to $85 per ton if you capture and store the carbon, and $60 if you capture it, but then use the carbon for various uses, such as enhanced oil recovery. And so this increase in this credit, we were wondering, you know, what are their thoughts on whether the projects would be profitable? There's two different ways you can interpret it, but let's go with, like, you know, there was 4% that said yes, most will be profitable. And then there was 42% that said yes, some will be profitable. And then there was 54% that said no. So I think most would consider this to be in many ways divided, where, you know, roughly half is saying yes and roughly half is saying no. I think that when you look through many of the projects that have successfully been completed, they're specific projects specific to like natural gas processing, ethanol, ammonia production. Those projects historically have had lower costs. And then when you move to projects related to like industrial use, cement, power generation, those generally have a higher cost related to it. And so that was kind of their main take. There are many ways divided, you know, this increased tax credit will, you know, help with profitability, but they're kind of divided on will it be profitable or not. We did also ask what net impact will the methane tax and the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act have on your firm? Most executives expect a negative net impact on their firm from the methane tax in the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act. Like when you're looking at all the firms, it's clear that the EMPs see it a little bit more negative than the service firms. There was still, though, a portion that was neutral. So like 28% of EMP firms were neutral, 37% of service firms were neutral. There were 12% of service firms that were slightly positive. It could be that while it's not mentioned anywhere in the survey, there could be just some type of opportunity since this methane is being taxed. Those were the two main questions that we covered around the Inflation Reduction Act.
You mentioned workforce earlier. Is there adding jobs, cutting jobs, maintaining jobs? The industry is going through such a change that, with automation even. So I'm curious, did anybody say anything about the 5,000 foot view, I guess, of the job market down there?
I think without a doubt, like labor is increasing. The way we look at our indexes is it's like the percentage of firms reporting an increase by the minus the percentage of firms reporting a decrease quarter over quarter. So if our index is rising, which it is for employment, what it's suggesting is the pace of the expansion is getting stronger. Also, our employment index was at the highest level in our survey 7-year history. And so it's suggesting that firms are hiring, they're successfully hiring. I think the other thing, though, is as you drill down in employment, though, is that nobody's cutting jobs. So like the percentage of firms reporting a decrease in employment was 3.7% in our latest survey. So, you keep the employees that you have. If you can hire more, great. There's so many comments around labor. When you look through just searching the word labor, you see plenty of comments around labor. And some of them mentioned, like one mentioned, labor shortages will continue to drive up wages as competition for skilled workers continues to increase. Another one wrote, the labor issue will provide a restraint on any major increase in oil and gas production for the domestic market. And so labor is kind of a very key theme. And I think even when we go through the actual data for employment, it shows the same trend upwards.
How about when it comes to regulations, whether it be the environmental social governance momentum that seems to be taking over, or whether it be, I know that the Biden administration, that was coming out of the oil and gas industry, pointing fingers quite a bit, whether it be federal lands or, the regulations or ESG or anything like that. Is there anything new, I guess, that you can extrapolate from the recent survey of people's attitudes or fears towards regulation, whether it be ESG or the methane tax or the Biden administration? Is Hillary still scaring people? Is that out now? I guess I don't know. I'm just throwing out some of the buzzwords I've heard in the oil industry the last year. So what did you come out of the Washington, D.C. side of things from your survey?
I think so it's a good question. I think,
by the way, it's a hard question because he cannot answer politically. And so that's why we got to tiptoe through this a little bit. So go ahead, Canal. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
I think what I can say is what the survey says. And so the survey, there is quite a few comments. And I always invite listeners to come out to our Dallas Head website and read through many of these comments. I think there's at least 40 or 50 executive comments, and quite a few of them reference the regulatory uncertainty. I think that there was one comment that might struck you as something new, and that was executives mentioning the Permian Basin being listed by the EPA, wanting to label the Permian Basin by the EPA as a non-compliance area. The easiest way that I always say is I invite everyone to come read through the comments, create their own view, but there is quite a few comments on this specific topic. I think that when it comes to uncertainty, it's not just the uncertainty around government regulation. There is quite a number of uncertainty variables out there, and it's not just that. There's the cost inflation, the value of inputs, the availability of equipment, the availability of personnel, and then just the volatility in prices. I think we started 2022 at $75 a barrel, went to about 120 in June, and now we're back down at 80. And so a lot of these things add uncertainty around the planning process.
I think the comments are better than the comics. So the Sunday comics in the paper, because they're fun, because it's, you guys, you know, you don't edit them, at least from my understanding, because the language is what I look for. And the one I'm looking at here is this guy's got a pretty good paragraph. He's citing 10-year treasury yield curves and China's battery lithium prices and all these different things. And he ends it with, feels like we're watching the steamroller scene in Austin Powers. So, I mean, they're all over the place. I love it. So, well, let's see. What's the takeaway? I'm noticing we only got about 5 minutes left. So what's the takeaway that you want firms to know from this survey heading into the next one?
I think the clear theme is that activity in the oil and gas, or specifically the upstream oil and gas sector, continues to increase. We're seeing production rise. We're seeing more and more employment. It's coming with the challenges of how do we source the equipment, the inputs, the personnel. And there still is quite a few uncertainty variables out there. We'll have to see how these play out into the coming year. I know that we did ask in our second quarter survey, that was around June, you know, when do you expect these supply chain issues to go away? And the majority said more than 12 months. So some of these themes around shortages could well go into next year. I know that cost inflation is probably a topic of interest, because it most what we hear from contacts, and it can be suggested by our cost indexes in the survey that it was larger than expected for this year. And so we'll have to see how the coming year pans out. I always invite everyone to come to our website. This is a survey in which each year we've gotten more and more interest. I think what you'll find is that what you read in the survey aligns very well with what you're hearing too. The comments really provide additional color, and our next release will be December 29th, 2022 at 9:30 a.m.
And we'll, of course, have the links available at thecrudelife.com if anybody wants to check out the websites. That way they can just go to the Crude Life, go to the links, take a look at some past surveys as well. The next survey coming out December 29th. And hey, man, have a great holiday. And, you know, I'm sure we'll be talking again in the new year. It's completely a whiteout here in North Dakota now. I can't even see across the street.
Well, yes, I look forward to talking with you soon. It's still, we're in Dallas. I think sometimes we look forward to the snow. We'll see if we get some this year. We'll definitely talk soon.
We got our work cut out for us. You know, North Dakota State Bison fans, you know, we go to Frisco, Texas every year. We buy the tickets before we even start the season. And this year we already got two losses. So we might not have our Frisco, Texas trip this year to worry about. Is it Mayor still the mayor down there? I guess. I don't even know. It's been a while since I've taking a look at Frisco, Texas, but nice stadium, nice stadium down there. But anyway, hey man, thanks. I appreciate it. We'll talk down the line.
Definitely. We'll talk soon.